In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. This question is primarily for the women who have gathered here, but men can answer it as well. Have you ever had a facial makeover? Have you ever had a facial makeover? Well, for my 60th birthday, which was in September, my kickboxing workout friends from LA Fitness took me to Neiman Marcus in King of Prussia for a full total makeover. It was my first one, and I think it'll be my last one. We were seated in a very beautiful room upstairs with very fine champagne, fancy appetizers, fresh fruit, and most of all, the cosmetic fancy mirrors. I was incredibly impressed by the beauty of the room and the aesthetically sensitive setup. The makeover was a powerful wake-up call after I looked into the cosmetic super-duper mirror. The head of the cosmetic department, very finely coiffed and dressed, analyzed my 60-year-old skin. It's very bad news. My skin was lacking in many things, I was told. First, I needed, listen carefully, Rosa Artica. It's a rehydration, reactivating cream with a rare regeneration resurrection flower that is hand-harvested at full bloom. Trust me, it's $75. Secondly, after further investigation of my skin, I needed, while I was sleeping, a midnight recovery concentrate. It's a replenishing elixir of pure essential oils with distilled botanicals to visibly restore the blotchy aging spots that give me a non-sexy appearance. Cost $85. Then came the really bad part. She looked, I never heard of this before, at my marionette lines around my eyes. Then she looked at my marionette lines around my lips and my forehead, and she said I needed a powerful strength line-reducing concentrate to decrease the crow's feet and the suborbital wrinkles. Cost $95. By this time, I was drinking a lot of champagne because I was getting very depressed. She examined close up my sagging skin around my neck and declared that I needed soy milk and honey whipped shea and jojoba antioxidant enriched butters with beta carotene to make me look athletic and younger. Take off 20 years, she said. Cost $125. Are you ready? Are you ready for the grand total for my makeover to make me look younger, sexier, powerful, and athletic? $525. They said, wow. The children said, wow. The more champagne I drank, The more I looked at my aging 60-year-old face in that cosmetic mirror that exaggerated my defects, the more I was tempted to bow down to the $525 empty promises of the cosmetic god. I sensed a deep, strange melancholy that was haunting me about my aging process. And I was reminded of the famous French political scientist Tocqueville, who made this observation about Americans in the 1830s, quote, "A strange melancholy haunts the inhabitants of America in the midst of abundance, and the incomplete joys of the world will never, ever satisfy the human heart." End of quote. On this Sunday, in the midst of abundance and in the depths of deep melancholy, especially after the horrible, horrible massacre of worshipers in Sutherland Springs, Texas, by an angry madman, Joshua calls us for a radical, radical makeover, which is far different than the one at Neiman Marcus. Joshua 24 calls us to reflect on the gods we bow down to. And Joshua calls us to choose whom we will serve. Our human hearts are IDOL, idol factories. Joshua asks his people for a total makeover by putting away the counterfeit gods and to serve our God with sincerity and faithfulness. God knows that our heart takes good things God has given us, like work, sex, wealth, guns, beauty, children, and deify them as the center of our lives. Are we able to say with Joshua and his family, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? As we live in a glittering world filled with idols, counterfeit gods. At Neiman Marcus, I almost bowed down to the Aphrodite goddess of beauty at Neiman Marcus before I came to my godly senses. Many young women I work with in my private practice are driven to depression and eating disorders by an obsessive concern over their body image. Sisters and brothers in Christ at St. Peter's, we may not burn incense to gods, to God Artemis, but when money and career are raised to cosmic proportions, we perform a kind of child sacrifice by neglecting family time, worship time, fellowship time to achieve power and wealth. We regularly bow down and worship goddess Nike when we sacrifice worship of the one true God to worship sports. Trust me, each one of us have our idols, and they have its own shrines, office towers, soccer fields, pornographic screens, spas, gyms, shopping malls. We look to our idols to love us, to provide us a sense of identity, significance, and worth. On this Sunday, today, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew calls us for a radical makeover and calls us away from our counterfeit gods. God knows. God knows. We need a makeover on gun violence and anger management that kill innocent people who gather to worship God. So today, in the Gospel of Matthew, there are three parts to the makeover. First, if we want to live expectantly with the time, we have, like the wise virgins, must have lamp and oil ahead of time. Next Sunday, Matthew 25 says, if we want to live responsibly, we must use the talents we have. And finally, in the same gospel, there's a separation of the sheep and the goats, and the choice is to live compassionately with the treasures we have. That's what we are called to do, to live expectantly, to live responsibly, to live compassionately. Mainline churches generally don't like the separation. They don't like the separation of the sheep and the goats. They don't like the separation of people who use their talents and hid their talents. They don't like the separation of those who were wise and foolish. Our gracious and relentless God calls us again and again and again to surrender our counterfeit gods that will ultimately prevent us from entering heaven. You see, counterfeit gods drain our time, our talents, and our treasures, and totally distract us from living expectantly, living responsibly, and living compassionately. That's why every Sunday we get a total makeover experience by coming to worship. So today on this Sunday, as we share our pledge commitment cards, it's $525 extra dollars I did not spend on the makeover in here. We are called to live expectantly, responsibly, and compassionately. Today, as we bring our pots, and we were supposed to put the seed in the soil, we reflect on how to be good stewards of God's seed in our lives and in this congregation till Jesus the bridegroom returns. Are you ready for the spiritual makeover? Part one, anticipate the bridegroom coming. The text says all the 10 virgins expected Jesus will return. And trust me, Jesus, our bridegroom, will return. Part two. Take lamp and oil. Lamp and oil. Jesus separates those who were wise and those who were foolish. The wise brought extra oil because the wait was long. Lamp and oil. Talking about oil, a few weeks ago, very young Charlotte Rothenberger was in Godly Play. And Jan Weir did such a beautiful job. She led the children through the Exodus story. She got in 15 minutes the entire 40 years of the people wandering, and she had the sandbox with the sand in the hard sand. She was talking about those Hebrews chasing after false gods. And if you know anything about Godly Play, after the story is read, every child gets to go and assimilate the story in their own way. So Charlotte chose to pick up the baptismal story. So she went and picked up a doll, and she pretended she was Father Koshy. She picked up the baby and said, "Hello, baby, how are you?" Just like Father Koshy does. And she dunked the baby with a lot of water. And then there was a big mess, wasn't there, Jan? Big mess. And then she so carefully anointed the baby. She started at the feet. Then she put oil on the hands. Then she put oil on the lips. and oil on the forehead with such grace. Young Charlotte Rothenberger was demonstrating the connection with our baptism and the anointing of oil on every part of the body to serve God. Because God's word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. The lamp represents the law and the gospel. We get in worship. We get in weekly godly play. We get in weekly children's chapel. The oil represents our response to God's word. Jesus considers anyone who lets their light run out of oil foolish and undeserving of entrance into God's kingdom. Ouch. Part three of living expectantly. We cannot borrow somebody else's oil. The foolish women allowed themselves to become spiritually weak and lethargic. They chose to chase after false god of comfort. They chose comfort over character. Therefore, they did not have any extra oil. In desperation, they hoped an association with those who had spiritual makeover will get them into the kingdom. So, how do we do oil management 101? Last Sunday, I was pondering on the five questions Father Koshy asked during the baptism. There were five questions which will make us understand on how to manage oil. Question one, will you live in the apostles' teaching in the breaking of the bread and in fellowship? Question number two, will you persevere in resisting evil and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to God? Question number three, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of Christ? And question number four, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? And question number five, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Sisters and brothers in Christ, the response to these five questions is lifelong and is the essence of oil management 101. The parable today warns us that our oil management begins at baptism when anointed, and it is a lifelong process of response to our baptism. It cannot be obtained the last minute. We can't study for a big exam on the last day. We can't cultivate character in our children overnight. We cannot be living on spiritual capital or spiritual oil or spiritual soil from somebody else. When the foolish virgins realize that Christ is about to come, they seek to make themselves ready by attempting to borrow from the five who had enough oil. Because they're foolish, they think they can get in the kingdom of God through someone else's effort. Sisters and brothers in Christ, today we have bad news and incredibly good news. Bad news is when Jesus comes, he will separate the wise from the foolish, the sheep from the goat. But we have very good news. Today we are called to surrender the false god that distract us and drain our oil and soil. And we are called to undergo a radical makeup. Worship regularly, so we can live expectantly, live responsibly, and live compassionately. Worshiping and serving others, along with committing ourselves with this pledge card, will take care of our sagging faith, remove the dark spot of sin of self-indulgence, and trust me, it will rehydrate our parched souls. It's a far better deal than what was offered to me and Neiman Marcus. Thanks be to God through Jesus for calling us back to life, fitting us for heaven, to live with him forever. Let the bridegroom come and the wedding feast begin. Amen.